all about grace. The Voice of St. Paul, this podcast, is about grace. That's what you will hear here. Grace, mercy, God's love in Christ. St. Paul Lutheran Church in Catonsville, Maryland, offers sermons, occasional devotions, and thoughts from Pastor Greg Alms and others. On this podcast, you'll hear about the love of Christ for you and in your life. We invite you to listen, to subscribe on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening. So my wife and I, we have this fun game we like to play at home. It's called, Who Took My Phone Charger? You can play it with earbuds and all sorts of different things in your home. Really, I play the game mostly, and here's how it goes. I can't find my phone charger, and so I say, Suzanne, what did you do with my phone cord? Where did you put it? I'm absolutely certain that she moved it somewhere for some reason, put it somewhere where I can't find it. Now, my wife is better at this game than I am because she usually just looks at me and says, nothing. And then I look around some more, and of course, when she says nothing, it just makes me more certain that she did indeed do something with my cord. And I look around, certain that she's done something with it. And there I look in the plug-in where I always put it, and there it is. She hadn't done anything with it. I had left it there and overlooked it, which of course means that the game ends up as most games end up in my house, and that is I have to go back to her and say, you were right. I'm sorry. Has anything like that ever happened to you? Probably. Here's another story. This one from the Bible. There's a family, lots and lots of brothers in this family. And one, like happens in some families, is the favorite. Mom and dad's special one. He was second to the youngest, and they dote on him. And he's the favorite. The other brothers think that he's spoiled. And the other brothers hate him and resent him. And it becomes such a thing for them that they decide to actually murder him, to kill him. And they have it all planned out, how they're going to get rid of him. And then at the last minute, they decide, no, that's a little too much. So because we're such great people, all we're going to do is sell him into slavery in a foreign land. So they throw him in a hole. The slave traders come by. Off he goes. He's a teenager. He's not a grown-up, and off they sell him into slavery, and it ruins the boy's life, as you might imagine. He's in slavery in a land he knows nothing about. He gets falsely accused. He ends up from going being a slave to being in prison, falsely imprisoned for years and years. Decades this goes on for this boy. He grows up, and then things turn around, and through God's intervention, this young boy becomes the second most powerful person really in the world, in the country in which he is, becomes prime minister. And he has all the levers of power. And there's a famine. And his brothers back home are starving. And his parents, they have no food. And they end up at the doorstep of this brother of theirs. And here's his chance. All of these years, decades, he would have thought about and remembered this evil that his brothers had done to him, sold him into slavery, ruined his life. And here they are crawling to him. And he's got everything. He's got riches. He's got food. He's got power. And they have nothing. This is his chance for revenge and to get back at them. And what does he do? He sees them and he begins to weep out of love for them. And in his heart, there is no revenge, no desire for retribution. But only he says, yes, you meant it for evil. Yes, what you did to me was wrong. But God meant it for good. He welcomes them and he forgives them. Who are you like in that story? The brothers or that boy who was sold into slavery. Here's another story. There's this guy, he's in debt. He's borrowed millions and millions and millions of dollars from some loan shark type of a person. And he's really stuck because he owes all of this money and he can't pay it back. And as often, as always happens, you know, sooner or later these things come due. And the loan person calls him in and says, "You've got to pay me. And if you don't pay me, you're going to go to prison. I'm going to just get rid of you and your family until you can pay it off." And so he falls to his knees and he begs. He says, "Please, please don't do that. Please help me. Forgive my debt." And the loan shark is moved, his heart, and he forgives him millions of dollars. He says, "Okay, we're square, we're even. No debt, you're free." So off he goes, best day of his life. And he goes out the door. On the sidewalk, he meets a friend of his, owes him 20 bucks. He sees him, and he flies into a rage. He is filled with anger, and he says, "Pay me back my money." He yells at him, and he gets so angry at him, he starts to choke him, and he says, "Give me my $20 now." He says, people around. And the word gets back to the loan shark guy, and he calls him back in. And he says, "I let you go, even though you owed me millions of dollars, and you can't let your friend go who owes you 20. Shouldn't you, as I was kind to you, shouldn't you have been a little nicer to that fella?" And he sends him off. As he originally had threatened, he sends him off to jail. Can you see yourself in that story? All right, another story. St. Peter and Jesus and the disciples are hanging around. And if you've ever read, you know, through the Gospels, you know that St. Peter likes to impress other people. He likes to put himself out front, and he's talking to Jesus. And so he wants to impress Jesus with how spiritual he is, what a great follower he is. So he's thinking about forgiveness, and he says, "Now, Jesus, if somebody sins against me, how many times should I forgive them?" You know? And Peter's probably thinking, you know, one is just a normal number. That's not impressive. Two or three is impressive. So I'm going to go for the big number. I'm going to tell Jesus that I can forgive somebody up to seven times if they sin against me. Jesus, I'm going to forgive them seven times. And Jesus looks at Peter and he says, "No, I say 70 times 70. 490, if you want to do the math." And of course, Jesus isn't doing math here. He's not saying 490. He's not saying, "Well, Peter, if you get to 491, then you're off the hook and you don't have to forgive him." No, of course, he's saying always. Peter, this isn't a thing about counting up to seven. You must always forgive. You are called as a follower of me, Jesus is saying, to forgive your neighbor. Can you do that? Here's the point of all of these stories. None of us in these stories like to think of ourselves as the sinners in the story, but we are. We like to think those people out there somewhere, those people are the bad ones. Why did you take my phone charger? Right? We have our favorite sins that we like to talk about and bash that other people are doing. And it makes us feel good. It makes us feel self-righteous. We want to magnify in our personal lives what other people have done to us, not what we have done to them. And we find it very hard to forgive others. Inside of us, we have this sense of justice, right? This sense of justice, we say, "Well, it was wrong what they did. It was wrong." And of course, that's true. It was wrong, whatever it is. If it was a sin that was done, it was wrong. Forgiveness is not calling evil good. It's not calling wrong things right things. That's not forgiveness. It's not saying, oh, it doesn't matter. It wasn't really a sin, or it really wasn't that bad. Oftentimes it was bad. It was really bad. But that's precisely the point. Forgiveness, we don't forgive people when they do good things. God doesn't forgive us good things. He forgives us bad. If evil hadn't been done to you, it wouldn't need to be forgiven. We forgive, we are called to forgive, precisely what is sin. When people hurt us, defraud us, do us wrong. We are called to forgive not because we are able to. You know, we're not called to be like Peter and summon up inside of ourselves this supernatural ability to overlook the wrongs. Being called to forgive is not a call to be somehow holy or spiritual or, to find all of these wonderful resources inside of ourselves, and that all of a sudden we're extraordinary Christians and we're able to forgive and be kind to our enemies. None of us can do that. None of us can do that. When the call comes out and the command to forgive, relying on our own resources, we all fail. And we rack up another debt. But we forgive precisely because we are sinners. We forgive because we are the ones who fail. And we are the ones who hurt others. And that's where our forgiveness comes from the fact that we are sinners and God looks down on us and forgives. God is Joseph, the little brother, who looks at the evil done to him and forgives. We have all sinned against God time and time again. We have failed him. And yet he has mercy on us. Mercy. We are Joseph's brothers. We are Peter, wrapped up in himself. We are the one who owes millions and millions and millions of dollars. And yet the Lord says to us, I will not repay you according to your sins. I do not seek revenge. I am not looking for retribution. I am not angry at you. You are forgiven. Your debt is paid. These aren't just mere words. These forgiveness, this declaration that God gives, is given at the cost of his son's life. Not cheap grace, but by the bitter sufferings and death of his beloved son, Jesus. It's earned, suffered for you. And with that, God says, I pardon you. And there, when we're able to see ourselves as sinners, when we're able to see ourselves as having been forgiven, there is where the forgiveness comes that we regard others with. That forgiveness is not an achievement of our own. It's a sharing of God's mercy, of Christ's sacrifice, of the absolution that we heard moments ago. When we forgive others, we are simply one dying sinner to another, one unworthy person to another, saying, yes, I am unworthy. God has forgiven me. You are unworthy. You have sinned. You have done wrong. But I'm taking what God has given me, which I did not deserve, and I'm giving it to you. Not because you deserve it. Not because you're good, or not because I'm trying to say what you did didn't matter. What I'm saying is Christ died for it. And we share that mercy with our brothers and our sisters and all of those whom we come across. Here's the conclusion to this sermon. You have been forgiven. God loves you in Christ. Forgive as he has forgiven you. Not with your own forgiveness, not by your own effort, but with his. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. That's it for today's podcast. Thanks for listening to the Voice of St. Paul. God be with you.